One of the advantages that Israel had when they came into the region was they had a lot of lessons from like Western-style democracies. This is Jordan, looks something like this. This is the Sinai. Perfect map. And so they were able to do politics much more effectively. Like, they're much more able to manipulate political environments better than Arab leaders, because Arabs are just not good at politics. Maybe because they hadn't practiced it, because they were all part of the Ottoman Empire and the Turks handled everything or whatever. But Israel is very good at political stuff and organization and military stuff and everything. They had all these Western lessons they took with them. One thing that is very frustrating, though, about the history of Israel is I would argue that Israel is very not sympathetic to, or doesn't do much to shore up the... They don't take into account like the political realities sometimes of people that are helping them. So I have this book back here, The Lion of Jordan. So King Hussein of Jordan actually had a ton of back and forth dialogue with Israel over the course of decades. Like would secretly fly to Tel Aviv and have conversations with Golda Meir, and was kind of like, they had like an extensive relationship back and forth. But Israel would do nothing to soften the blow that King Hussein would deal with whenever they're attacking Fedayeen or people across the border, or engaged in these wars with other people. Israel wouldn't do anything to help the King of Jordan's political positions, and I'm aware of. They just have no consideration sometimes for the political realities that other people are dealing with in the region. And I feel like today, now we're seeing that a billion times over with the way that Netanyahu has just dog walked Trump into this war with Iran. Like, anti-Semitism is already on a pretty spooky rise, I would say, in the West, in the world. I don't know what the fuck else, but like, holy Israeli leadership really has no care whatsoever for the political realities that exist in the United States. Like, I don't know. I feel like this war in Iran, unless the polling has changed, is like the most unpopular war the United States has entered in the past several decades. And I don't know what Israel thinks is going to happen with their relationship with the United States in the future, but they are fomenting so much bad will in the U.S. I saw some in my subreddit who was like, Destiny said that that Democrats wouldn't care about Gaza 2 years later. Looks like he was totally wrong on that. I wasn't wrong on that. They don't give a fuck about Gaza. What they care about right now, some part of my subreddit, what they care about right now is the war in Iran. And every single person in the United States, or a lot of people in the U.S., are probably looking at Trump, and then they're looking at Netanyahu and Israel, and they're like, why the fuck are we here? And this isn't helped at all by the fact that the Trump admin, unless I've missed it, hasn't given us a good reason for why we're at war with Iran. Everybody knows that Netanyahu hates Iran. Like, that's what it feels like to me. That's my read on it, is that Netanyahu basically sold to Trump. Wouldn't you want to be the dude that took out the Ayatollah? Wouldn't that be based in epic? And Trump was like, hey, hell yeah. Wait, how do I sell this to my people? Me? And Netanyahu was like, 47 years, bro. 47-year war. Go. It's so stupid. I think Israeli leadership is okay if anti-Semitism gets really bad in the U.S. because it means they get 6 million new Israelis from the American Jewish exodus. That is true. One of the irritating things, I've said this over and over again, between anti-Semites like Hassan and the Young Turks and all the general like anti-Semitism, is that my perception, impression is... Israel doesn't really like Exodus Jews. They don't really like when you talk about like the Brooklyn Jews and Israel really wants Jewish people to go back to Israel. That's what they really want. Like, if you're a diaspora Jew and you're not back in Israel, they kind of don't like you. Like, they're very aggressive on the birthright trips and trying to get people to come back to the country and everything, because they need to shore up their demographics in this country, because it would help them absorb like the Gaza Strip or parts of the West Bank and still have their demographic majority. And for like, people will look at Israeli Jews and like Jews outside of Israel as all part of like the Jewish mind or whatever, but Israeli Jews are significantly like their own breed of thing, and I don't think they're like I'm not going to say they're anti-Semitic towards foreign Jews or whatever, but they definitely appreciate their own kind and appreciate the people living in Israel, the Jewish people in Israel, like far more than the Jews that choose to remain outside of Israel. Israel is decoupling from the U.S. Netanyahu said this over and over again. This will likely be the last 5 years where Israel is strongly allied with the U.S. It might be, because, again, to the opposite of a lot of people's understandings, the hard right in Israel does not like the alliance, quote unquote, with the United States, for the exact opposite reasons why pro-Palestinians were always protesting Kamala and Biden. Because Israel sees itself as limited and inhibited a lot by the relationship they have with the United States. A lot of the more unhinged, like now that we've seen kind of an Israel that's a little bit more uncapped, is a little bit more unhinged, there's a little bit more bombing Beirut and going all over Lebanon and setting off pagers in southern Lebanon and doing crazy shit to Gaza, and now starting this war with Iran and doing all, like, just all this crazy shit in all these regions. You know, Assad's finally gone, all this shit that's working out of their favor in Syria, all of the shit that they're doing. This is like what Israel kind of wants to do, and they know that they are militarily strong enough to do it because the enemies in the region are not sophisticated. I don't think Egypt gives a fuck about anything going on up there, and the Gulf states are all the leadership at least is preferable to Israel over the Ayatollah or Assad or Saddam Hussein. And yeah, so Israel just wants to be able to do all their and they don't like the, somebody in chat said that, yeah, the golden handcuffs of being with the United States. The far right in Israel does not enjoy that very much, and they would like to see that decoupling because they saw the U.S. as a limiting factor more, at least under prior regimes. Now under Trump, I guess they can do whatever the fuck they want, but yeah, I don't know, it's annoying. I think the pager attack isn't a good example of that, but I do agree with the rest of your point. I'm just saying in general, Israel wants to destroy all of its enemies in the region as aggressively as possible. But then I'll also say all of the losers, all the pro-Pali losers back in the day, they were clapping for Hamas and were cheering on Hamas and kept saying that, oh my God, like they're freedom fighters and blah, blah, blah. They really f***ed it up. They really f***ed it up hard for everybody because now that Hamas did their big attack, and it was bad, and it was horrible, and I think Israel did have every right to go to war with Gaza, look at what Israel has gotten. Like, it really is just the history of the whole region, is the Arabs constantly misstepping and then giving the Jews a really good reason to f*** up. It's like over and over and over and over and over again. That's just what happens over and over again. And Hamas did their October 7th attack, and what did Israel get off of that? They got to level the Gaza Strip. They get to play politic games now with the Palestinian Authority. Assad is gone. So Syria is hopefully moving in an Israeli-friendly direction. They're bombing Beirut. They got to kill Nasrallah. They got to destroy all of the Hamas leadership. Hezbollah is crippled right now. You've got Iran is on the way out now. Like, Israel got so much of that. And this is what I hate. This is why I keep saying, like, foreign interference. I said this from the very, as soon as I started studying this region, I feel like foreign interference is, like, it up so much. All those comfy losers in the West that were all cheering on Hamas, all your Hassan Pikers, all your Brooklyn anti-Semitic demonstrators that were cheering on Hamas's freedom fighters, they cheered them right into oblivion. Like, they really f***ed all their shit up hardcore. They f***ed their shit up so bad, and nobody in the West has to pay a price for that. None of these pro-Pali dipshit losers, these people called Palestinian Americans who were born in Michigan, none of these people had to pay any price for that. And now, whoo, Israel f***ing runs shit. Remember that Saudi Arabia seems to prefer Israel to Iran / their proxies? Well, maybe. We don't know that for true. We know that the leadership there prefers it, but I don't know what the Arab street thinks. I don't know what the average Arab citizen thinks of Israel compared to any of the other people. It's harder to say. Remember that those regimes are there because the United States wants them there because they're U.S. friendly, right? Why do we prefer a monarchy in Saudi Arabia or monarchies in these Emirati places? Why do we prefer monarchies instead of democracies? Because we know that the monarchies are loyal to U.S. interests. We don't know if a democracy would be. So who's to say if we pulled out of that region and all of our interests completely, you know, what future governments might look like, how they would align with or without Israel? I don't know. This is why I'm a huge green energy climate change guy, is because the sooner we get off oil, the sooner we can stop looking at the Middle East, the sooner I never have to talk about Israel ever again. All that shit. Oh my God. Yeah, I saw Trump is apparently talking about attacking or taking Cuba in some size, shape, or form. I don't know what that means when he says that. I don't know if he knows what that means when he says that. Apparently, Cuba's having like a huge humanitarian crisis right now where they're having to shut off like a ton of the energy in the country because it's just like completely right now. This is 100% Marco Rubio. Like, maybe, yeah. Do your parents support taking Cuba? Probably. Any Cuban would support literally any U.S. intervention action related to Cuba. Have you seen this Tulsi tweet? Am I schizo? Or is this worded very carefully to suggest she agrees with the guy that quit? Donald Trump was overwhelmingly elected by the American people to be our president commander-in-chief. As our commander-in-chief, he is responsible for determining what is and is not an imminent threat and whether or not to take actions he deems necessary to protect the safety and security of our troops, the American people, and our country. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence is responsible for helping coordinate and integrate all intelligence to provide the president and commander-in-chief with the best information available to inform his decision. After carefully reviewing all the information before him, President Trump concluded that the terrorist Islamist regime in Iran posed an imminent threat, and he took action based on that conclusion. How is this supposed to be in favor of the guy who quit? Are you implying that she's saying the third paragraph was sarcastic, kind of, because that guy would have known better and was giving Trump all the information about it?
Steve, great job. Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland, and they get along so well. I saw that. You get along very well together. That's the way it's supposed to be, huh? I don't know if I should be promoting murder.
Because she didn't back Trump's statement that Iran was a threat. Oh, because she's just saying Trump reviewed everything and he decided that. Oh, that might be, maybe. Yeah, maybe, actually.
Merger. I love mergers, but I didn't know. We're going to get in a little trouble. We're going to get in more trouble with that than the beauty. But Emma, Little, Pengali, thank you very much, Emma. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You know, too, I think Cuba, I don't know, in its own way, if it...
Why the f*** does he do this thing where his fingers are, like, on the desk like this? Like, he's a little guy. This thing... Why does he do this?
You know, tourism and everything else. It's a beautiful island. Great weather. They're not in a hurricane zone, which is nice for a change, you know. They won't be asking us for money for hurricanes every week. But...
Is that true? Do the hurricanes just only go up to Florida? They don't go to Cuba at all?
But I think Cuba's seen the end. You know, all my life I've been hearing about the United States and Cuba. You know, when will the United States do it? I do believe I'll be the honor of having the honor of taking Cuba. That'd be good. That's a big honor.
Taking Cuba.
Taking Cuba in some form, yeah. Taking Cuba. I mean, whether I free it, take it, I think I could do anything I want with it. You want to know the truth? They're a very weakened nation right now. They were for a long time. And very violent leaders. I think Cuba, I don't know, in its own way, if it, you know, tourism and everything else.
Very violent. When you're a celebrity, they just let you do it. They just let you take their countries. Alex Jones shutting down next month. What?
I'm gonna come back.
Come back whatever you want.
Come back. I'm gonna come back.
Come back whatever you want.
How long are you in Austin?
A couple weeks.
Sure, for South by Southwest.
We're not here for it, but we're here during it. You know, one of the reasons I came down here is I was gonna be playing poker at the lodge, and then the state shut them down. I'm pissed about it.
What's weird was I texted you a week ago. Somebody texted me and said, "Hey, Tim's here, come on the show." I'm like, "Am I supposed to be on your show?" Like, I don't know, but play poker. But
yeah, well, we want to do a poker game with you and a few other people. Not so much about poker, but about having fun, goofing off, and I think it'd be really fun to play a game.
I'm ready. I'm ready. But don't follow me at Real Life Shows on X. Infowars.com. We're getting shut down. We beat so many attacks, but finally, we're shutting down like the middle of next month.
Wow,
it's gonna be insane what happens. People can, you know.
Yeah. So this
fake
is this
receiverships, the fake auctions, all of it's happening right now.
So what are you gonna do? You're launching a new thing, or what are you doing?
Yeah, no, shows now. We're gonna be fine.
All right. Well, are you leaving? Is that why you're saying all this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am exhausted,
brother.
Well, it's good to have you.
Unless it's 4 a.m., unless you can do a table dance for me.
No. Not on this table.
None of this? Yeah.
Maybe next time.
These things are probably like $20.
It's really not going to withstand anybody.
Oh, no, these are okay.
Well, my wife over here. But...
Pull it
maybe
off.
Maybe do a table dance. Where's she?
You sound tired. You should look like
falling asleep. Exhausted.
Have a nice rest, man.
Well, it's good having you, brother.
It's a little wild to me that whenever all the shit that's happened, Alex Jones is still around making the rotation. Well, imagine how sad your life is as Alex Jones when, like, the biggest political conspiracy theory thing of all time comes up, the Epstein stuff, and you can't really talk about it much at all because it's implicating all of your conservative guys. Like, that's got to be brutal, man.
We're going to go for hours, right?
Yeah, we're going to go for another 2 hours.
I want to come back.
You are allowed. That is acceptable.
Here for 2 weeks?
Yes, yep. Sir.
Do not visit Real Life Shows on X. Do not follow it.
Too late. They're there right now.
Alex,
Real Alex Jones on X. Did you get it?
But imagine a giant Joe Rogan pussy right up there. We're like,
okay. Idaho House passes trans bathroom ban with 5-year prison sentence. What does that mean? Was it a 5-year? Wait. Did I read this right? If you go to the wrong bathroom, is that a 5-year prison sentence? Anti-transgender bills have moved across the U.S. created a bathroom bounty hunter system across the state. The bill, HB 752, which is now moving to the Senate, states that any person who knowingly and willfully enters a restroom or changing room in a government-owned building or a place of public accommodation, a category that includes private businesses, designated for use by the opposite biological sex of such person shall be guilty of a misdemeanor, punishable by up to 1 year in prison. A second offense within 5 years would be a felony, carrying up to 5 years in prison. What? There's got to be more language to this. What about when sometimes parents go into the bathroom with, like, if they've got, like, a child of the opposite sex, they'll usually they take them to the bathroom of the parent. But, like, would your child be charged with a crime? Like, if a mom goes to some public place and she has, like, a four-year-old little boy, like, sometimes they'll just go into the woman's restroom with a boy. Would he get charged with a misdemeanor crime? Well, no, because he wouldn't be entering or knowingly. I wonder how strict, like, sometimes I think, I feel like I've seen this at, like, sporting events before, where, like, one bathroom will have a ton of people, so sometimes you run to the other one, or sometimes people start using the other one. Would all those people, would there be a cop inside, like, boom, 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 like, machine gunning out misdemeanor crimes to these people? Any person who pleads guilty to or is found guilty of a violation of this section, a similar statute in another state, or any other, or any similar local ordinance for a second time within 5 years of the first conviction, notwithstanding the former judgment or withheld judgment, shall be guilty of a felony and may be imprisoned in the state prison for a period not to exceed 5 years. A felony. Oh, this shall not apply to an individual who enters a restroom or changing room designated for the opposite sex in any of the following circumstances: to perform custodial services or maintenance, to render medical assistance, to provide law enforcement assistance, or to supervise any arrestee, detainee, to provide services or to render aid during a natural disaster, to use a single user facility designated for the opposite sex if such a single user facility is the only facility reasonably available at the time of the person's use of the facility, to use restroom facilities when the person is in dire need of urinating or defecating and such facility is the only facility reasonably available at the time of the person's use. How would you even test for this? What? This is so... This is such a stupid concept. I really had to go. I don't think you did. I don't think you did really have to go. I think that was some bullshit. You just wanted to go in the wrong bathroom. It's penis inspection time. Jesus Christ. Like, imagine getting hyped up over this. You're like, yeah. Have you ever seen the difference between EU bathroom stalls and US bathroom stalls? I feel like 90% of the fear comes from the design of US bathroom stalls. No, there is no real US fear about this. This is literally the most fear-mongered thing in the universe. There is nobody who's like, oh, the bathroom, a trans person might come in the bathroom. Oh. Like, this is not a real thing. Nobody cares about this. Nobody thinks about this. Nobody talks. It's just the most ridiculously drummed up panic of, like, nothing. It's so cringe. Ugh.